unite the league. You can't save the world alone. This week, Team Thrillmont, we're reviewing Justice League.
Justice League!
Guys, we're back. Thank you for tuning in. This is episode 2 of the Movie Pass
Dos
podcast with Team Thrillmont, aka Team Will Smith. Still need you to weigh in on that, guys. I'm not going to let you not weigh in.
You're just holding that down. You're like, I'm rooting for it. Team Will Smith.
Where are you? I keep rooting for Team Will Smith, guys. Thrill, I would say for maybe, you know, copyright purposes.
Yeah, it might not work out though.
Google searchability, maybe Will Smith, Team Will Smith.
Not the best idea.
And when it comes to branding. Team Thrillmont, we'll have to make it happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hashtag.
Today, we're the last two people on Earth. We were at least the last two people in the theater.
For sure.
To go see Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you've probably seen it already. This is going to be a spoiler full.
Yeah, full. We don't care at this point.
Yeah.
It's been a month.
When we did all the episodes last time, you know, it was easy to kind of glance over because we just had so much work to do.
Yeah.
But this one's going to have some spoilers in it.
Yeah, for sure.
So, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Justice League, don't listen to this podcast.
Yeah, don't. Sorry about you.
Yeah. Hopefully, you knew that going in.
Yeah.
But in case you didn't, before we ever get started, there's spoilers.
It'll be a big font when you read the... Yeah.
A spoiler
full.
Yes, exactly. So, spoiler alert. I just went straight from work and straight to the theater.
I woke up from a nap, drove straight there.
I got off work at 9, and the movie started at 9:20. I got there at 9:18.
Mm-hmm. He was at work doing, you know, big boy things. I was napping, and he still beat me.
Yeah. What can I say, man? So, let's just dive right in. It's funny. We had to have been the last two because it was such we saw it in the tiny theater.
In the tiniest one there, probably.
Yeah, definitely. I actually saw Murder on the Orient Express in that same tiny theater. And it's kind of a buzzkill, I feel like. Those tiny theaters, I feel like the sound isn't as loud.
Well, for sure something. Not as loud. Yeah, and the screen, they shorten the screen somehow, too. They don't, like, use it all. You know what I'm saying? Like, use all the edge of the screen.
Well.
I don't like it.
I'm not gonna tell you how that affects me as far as the movie goes.
Yeah.
We'll get into that later. opening trailers. Let's just touch base on some of that.
The first one we saw was Jumanji.
Jumanji, yeah, right off the bat. We already talked about Jumanji
last week.
I did hear my good friend Critty. Shout out to Critty.
Shout out.
Critty actually saw like the sneak peek that happened tonight, and he said that it was great.
Good.
So
it can't be that bad. It's got Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Kevin Hart. Jack Black, yeah.
That's a dream team right there. So we're going to have to start doing the podcast like this, man. Just go to the theater and then come straight here and start podcasting.
It's fresh. It's way better. It's way easier and way better to talk about it that way.
I agree. First trailer, Jumanji. Second trailer, Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
And we both of us pretty excited for Black Panther.
Yeah, it looks good.
I know we kind of touched on it last time. Michael B. Jordan.
Looks good.
One of the most incredible young actors out there right now.
Chadwick Boseman looks good too. I don't think he's as young as Michael Jordan, but still not necessarily old in the game.
Yeah. I'm looking here at the cast. This cast is stacked. We got Lupita Nyong'o. We've got Forest Whitaker, Bassett.
I forgot Forest Whitaker was supposed to be in it too.
And you're right. Andy Serkis.
Mm-hmm.
I did see Martin Freeman there from British Office and from The Hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
He will be in this movie as well.
He was in Civil War 2 for a minute.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What's his character in Marvel? Okay, guys, spoiler alert. I'm not super versed in Marvel, so maybe that will affect what I think about this DC movie. Who knows? But
His character, I'm pretty sure he just works for S.H.I.E.L.D. And he was trying to hold Winter Soldier back from being crazy in Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how he got brought in. He's only in Civil War for like 10, 15 minutes.
Gotcha.
It's not that bad.
Fair enough.
Um,
definitely going to check out Black Panther, though.
Yeah, definitely.
and Angela Bassett, one of the most beautiful women.
Does not age.
On Earth, to me. Mm-hmm. It, like, in the top 10 most beautiful women that I've seen in my life. Because What's Love Got to Do with It? From that moment.
Made your heart melt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How Stella Got a Groove Back? Yeah. I sat through that because I love Angela Bassett. Beautiful. Let's see. Third trailer. Pretty forgettable. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Pacific Rim, the sequel.
Two. Yeah.
Pac Rim.
Was it Uprising? That's the title.
Probably. Yeah. Yes. What do you think about Pacific Rim?
Who gives a shit?
That's kind of how I feel. The first time I saw the trailer, I thought it was like the, I was like, this is the new Power Rangers movie. This is going to be cool. Mm-hmm. And then as it kind of went on, I was like, oh, well, these aren't the reoccurring Power Rangers. And it's got,
I haven't seen a single Power Ranger yet. What is this?
Yeah. And Finn from Star Wars is in it. And Charlie from Always Sunny.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a beard.
As soon as I saw, is that Charlie Day?
Yeah. He's strange looking without his beard.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He looks like a crack addict.
Yeah. To me, this isn't.
Yeah, I'll pass.
Yeah, full on CG fest. Kind of like.
We haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to go ahead and say just skip. Just red box that.
Yeah. I didn't even see Pacific Rim 1. Maybe we're missing out on a great movie here. Maybe we're selling ourselves too short.
I doubt it because I haven't heard low praises, but I haven't heard any high ones either. So there's not much to talk about,
guys,
apparently.
Weigh in on this. Tell us if you think we should go see Pacific Rim 2 Uprising.
Yeah. Tell us if we should see the first one first.
Yeah.
If we shouldn't see the first one, then I'm definitely not going to see
the
second.
Maybe we can just pretend it's Power Rangers. We'll just pretend they're Zords.
Yeah, Zord. Just the whole time we're watching it.
We'll just pretend they're Zords.
And then after that, we saw Tomb Raider.
The new Tomb Raider. Definitely looks like the new school style of the video game, you know? Mm-hmm. Doesn't look like anything previously. No Angelina Jolie one.
Yeah.
Those two movies. I will say that Tomb Raider is going in a very high point because being better than the originals is going to be pretty simple.
Pretty simple. Yeah, easy. You know? Easy as pie.
Hopefully.
Yeah, you would hope.
I mean, crazier things have happened.
I can just see the headline now. Actually, worse than the original.
Yeah, and I'm not too familiar with, you said that the gal that plays Tomb Raider, and let's see, Alicia Vikander?
Mm-hmm. She's an Academy Award winner now. She won for The Danish Girl a few years ago.
Yeah, so I'm not familiar with her.
Mm-mm, me neither.
For two people that love movies, there's a lot of movies out there.
There's a lot.
We gotta see.
We just don't have enough hours in the day to work, sleep, and watch movies. It's impossible.
Yeah. Maybe if we didn't have to work, we could watch more movies and podcast more.
That'd be great.
So, guys, please support the show.
Yeah, help us pave our way.
But I will say there are some things that stood out to me in that trailer. Walton Goggins being in it.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of Walton Goggins.
Yeah, I feel like he stole the show in Hateful Eight.
Oh, yeah. He's been a fantastic actor for a long time, man. I followed him all throughout The Shield. If you ever watched The Shield, not the Marvel Shield.
No, I didn't watch The Shield, but I know the main guy, Michael.
Michael Chiklis.
Chiklis, yeah.
He played the Thing in Fantastic Four.
That's where I knew him from. I was like, and I was a kid, you know, not a kid, but I wasn't like how I am now.
You were younger.
Yeah,
you were younger. Shorter.
Yeah. I was a fruitful younger teen. But yeah, I was wanting to watch The Shield, but I never got into it. But I didn't know he was on. I might
gritty actually, cop drama. Definitely check it out. And he's awesome.
Do you know if it's on Hulu or Netflix?
I think it might actually be on Hulu.
I might watch
it.
So
check it out. But yeah. Walton Goggins is great. I've loved him ever since Shanghai Noon, where he put one of my favorite lines in all of cinema is whenever he's like, all right, boys, let's, Owen Wilson's like, let's go enjoy the fruits of our labor. And Walton Goggins just goes, Roy, he blew the shit out of our fruits. Love that line.
Walton Goggins. God. I haven't seen Shanghai Noon or Shanghai
Nights.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's been a hot second.
Mm, yeah, been a while. Yeah.
So. And also, I was stoked for anybody that likes Into the Badlands. If you're a fan of that show, I randomly loved it. Anybody that likes martial arts, check out Into the Badlands. But Daniel Wu from Into the Badlands is also going to be in Tomb Raider. And then my guy from Hot Fuzz and the Simon Pegg movies. What's his name?
I don't know. Wasn't
Nick Frost?
Yeah, Daniel Wu? Wasn't he in Rogue One? Or was that a different guy from Into the Badlands?
You know what? No, that is Donnie Yen.
Oh, okay.
Donnie Yen is not in Into the Badlands.
Oh, is he not?
No. Donnie Yen is in Iron Monkey, and he's in Ip Man.
Mm.
So Ip Man was pretty popular. If you have Netflix. No.
Yeah, I know. I always scroll past it. I know what you're talking about, though.
So, yeah. I will go see this Tomb Raider movie.
Yeah.
It has a lot of potential for me.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Fool me once.
Fool me once, Angelina Jolie. Never again.
Shame on you.
And let's see. What was after Tomb Raider? We just to continue on, guys. We're not going to bore you with trailers, but 12 Strong was 12 the last Strong. Trailer that we saw. Mm-hmm. The true declassified story of the horse soldiers.
Yeah.
So pretty decorated cast.
Chris Hemsworth, Michael Shannon. I mean, that's
William Fichtner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him there, bald. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember his name. I remember William Fichtner. He's a great character actor. Anyway, produced by Jerry Bruckheimer. If you like Black Hawk Down, mm-hmm. I'm sure you're going to love this film.
Same concept.
So go see it if you want or don't.
Yeah.
I'm on the fence about it. I might go see it if it's a rainy Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, if I just got nothing to do. I'm like, I've seen them all. Nah, I guess I'll go
I
see
felt
it
they
well.
Really tried to play that patriotism card in that trailer because they're like, this is from the towers. Take it with you, you know, or whatever. And I was like, yeah, God. I see what you're doing here.
I wonder how much of that stuff is factual versus fictional.
Who knows, man? It's Hollywood.
Based on a true story. You know what the fuck that could mean?
That could mean
there's so many things that could mean.
Yeah, that means like a few of the same people's names are on there.
Yeah, well, remember the movie The Strangers, based on a true story?
Yes. With Dennis from Always Sunny randomly in it.
Yeah,
and Liv Tyler.
But the thing is, people break into houses all the fucking time. You know what I'm saying? What story is this based off of?
That's true. Could be anybody.
Yeah, it could be anyone.
It's the Manson family.
Yeah, who knows? When was this based out? What year?
That's true.
And a dude just happened to not get engaged on his friend's wedding day when he asked to propose. You know, I'm ruining the movie now. I'm sorry.
All right, guys. Go see The Strangers.
Yeah. You'll understand my pain with this.
But yeah, we've spent enough time on the trailers here. Let's get into the meat and the potatoes of this podcast. We're talking about Justice League.
The meat and potatoes.
I will say maybe the most polarizing movie of the holiday season, man. Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of
shit.
Yeah. A lot of negative stuff, a lot of was okay kind of stuff.
Well, I've seen a lot of negative Nancy's out there.
Yes, I agree. You know, it has a pretty decent IMDb score.
Really?
It's got an IMDb score of about 7.2.
That's not bad.
Pretty decent.
Yeah.
Now, it's got a Rotten Tomatoes score as of today's date of 40%.
That's stupid.
So
it does not deserve that.
But also, too, take into consideration, a lot of Rotten Tomatoes is critical review. And mm-hmm. critic does not necessarily reflect... A critical review might not necessarily reflect the review of the Everyman.
Well, that's the same little tangent Ben Affleck went on for Batman vs. Superman, too. You know, when they were all shitting on that.
Right.
And then that whole Ben Affleck gif happened when he was looking like this. All sad and shit.
Yeah. What's funny is this is a podcast, so no one knows what you just did, but I do.
Yeah, I know. That's so why secret. I did it for you, because we're friends.
Well, right off the bat, I'm gonna talk about this. So Justice League, right off the bat, it is a stacked cast for mm-hmm. me.
Yeah.
You got Henry Cavill, okay? You'll see him opening as Superman. So, you know. Okay, first off, right off the bat, spoiler alert, I'm sure everybody knows this. Superman's in this fucking movie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You cannot have the goddamn Justice League without Superman.
Superman's in this movie. You knew he was going to be in this movie.
Yeah. As soon as you saw Batman vs. Superman, or maybe you didn't, I don't know. But as soon as you saw it, it was like, yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, and also, too, like, the death and return of Superman, where, like, you know, he gets killed by Doomsday, the best-selling comic of all time, as far as I know, and everyone knows that he returned in the next issue. So, kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne mm-hmm. / Batman, Gal Gadot.
Is it Gadot? I'm pretty sure it's Gadot.
It is Gadot.
Gadot.
With a T, man. You got to, like, make it pronounce.
Gadot.
It wasn't as, like, smooth as I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. Of course, we've got Khal Drogo himself, Jason Momoa as Aquaman. Ezra Miller as Barry Allen, The Flash.
Barry Allen, The Flash, yep. And then Ray Fisher, is that right?
Yeah, Ray Fisher as Cyborg.
Cyborg.
But also, too, man, some of the side characters, Amy Adams.
Mm-hmm. J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling. J.K. Simmons.
That's what I said.
Yeah, J.K. Rowling. The lady behind Harry Potter is going to be playing Commissioner Gordon.
I was going to say edit that out, but don't edit that out. That's funny to me.
Jeremy Irons as Alfred.
Great Alfred.
You know? You know, I find Alfred to be kind of polarizing because while I think Jeremy Irons is such a dynamic actor
mm-hmm.
and so good, and a lot of times I see him as such an evil character in many, like I always think of him in like Die Hard with a Vengeance and stuff,
yeah.
or as like the voice of Scar. But I think he's such a great actor. But as Alfred, I feel like he doesn't look that much older than Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
That's kind of my biggest, the thing I feel this is strangest casting is I don't feel like he just looks like he's maybe, I don't know, 20 years older than Bruce Wayne, 15, 20. Yeah,
well, remember in Batman and Robin? What was that Alfred? That Alfred looked old as shit.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, actually, Jeremy Irons kind of looks like a younger version, honestly, of that. Of the old Batman.
Yeah.
Of the old Alfred, I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I think they're going off of like, there's kind of been a new storyline, and I know they did it in the animated series of Beware the Batman, where yeah. Alfred is like ex-military, ex-special forces, whatever, royal special forces or something, and he's the one that actually teaches Bruce Wayne.
Oh, instead of the original story, yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's kind of where they're going, because I did notice that Alfred wore some military garb.
Yeah, and he was, and in Batman vs. Superman, if you paid attention, he was, and in this one too, he was helping, like, design and make stuff for the Batmobile, Batsuit, whatever the hell he wanted, really, and that was all Lucius before. It was, like, you know, Alfred had nothing to do with it. So, I think they're definitely going down a different storyline for that.
Yeah. Also, little... You know, Diane Lane's back. I always like to see Diane Lane.
Yep.
And Billy Crudup makes an appearance in this movie.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's in like all of Zack Snyder's movies.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
The fever dog himself, Sweetwater himself, the golden god, the man that's on drugs, Billy Crudup.
Yep.
And Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah. And there you go. There you go. One. He was also really great in Spotlight too. He's a great actor, actually.
I love him in Almost Famous. All those quotes I was doing there from Almost Famous.
Oh, he's
one of
great
my favorite
Almost
movies
Famous.
Of all time. As a music
him.
Fan, as
yeah,
a musician,
yeah,
love it.
Yeah, you as a person, yeah, who wants to be on the road sometimes, and then like wants to play music and listen and go to shows. You have to love that movie,
right?
You have to.
So directed by Zack Snyder, written by I think Zack Snyder and Joss Whedon,
and there's one more person I think.
Score by Danny Elfman.
Yeah.
They pulled out all the stops on this.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to go into my first theory real quick before we even start spoiling the movie and kind of what we think. Now, when we went and talked about Thor Ragnarok, okay, I'm going to go back to Thor here. Marvel took, I feel, a concept that really worked for Guardians of the Galaxy and then put it into Thor.
Exploited it.
Well, exploited it, but made the most of the Thor character. Gave Thor a new breath of life, kind of. I feel that Justice League also took a very winning formula from another successful movie franchise and pasted it upon their movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that formula is the Fast and the Furious formula, whereas you get these absolutely charismatic characters and you put them all on screen together.
Yeah.
And everybody is like just really cool. And these characters are just, I think that's kind of what they did. Gal Gadot also from Fast and the Furious. Giselle. Shout out to Giselle. I hope she's in the new one.
I agree. I know what you're saying. I get what you're saying. When they're on the screen and like they're all together, some of them have like witty one-liners. Definitely not as much as Thor did.
I thought that they got their action, but I think that why I kind of say it's a Fast and Furious formula is I don't think at any time they, like, I feel like the acting was taken very seriously.
Yeah.
But it knows, like, I feel like this movie kind of knew what it was. Maybe that's why I enjoyed it so much. Same reason why I enjoy Fast and Furious. It's something that, like, knows what it is. Like, it's over the top. It's, you know, kind of campy at times, but it's done with a straight face.
Mm-hmm.
And they just make, and it's great action, and it's like, I don't know.
I thought the action was really good.
I agree. Now, I have some grievances, obviously, with this film, but yeah. So the film opens up, basically, the plot of the film. So the film opens up with a little video of some kids interviewing Superman for a podcast, asking what he liked most about America, and then black screen Justice League.
That was weird.
Or black screen. And then we come to Batman, an older Batman, obviously. The Ben Affleck Batman is very much kind of like Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, for sure. He's definitely older.
Type of Batman. And he's fighting
parademon?
A parademon, we find out later in the movie. A parademon on the rooftops of Gotham. Mm-hmm. And when this parademon explodes...
He traps him on a wall, explodes, has like three symbols.
Three cubes. Symbol of three cubes. Now, those three cubes are seen also in Atlantia and in Amazon.
Themyscira.
There you go. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So that's a recurring theme, these three cubes. So they're in Wonder Woman's world. They're in Aquaman's world.
And they're on Earth.
And they're on Earth. And we come to find out that these are called...
Mother boxes.
Mother boxes. Mm-hmm. And they're not much... To me, it's very similar concept to...
Infinity Stones.
Man, you're just finishing all of my...
Sandwiches, I know.
But yeah, very much like the Infinity Stones, where you put them all on a really nice decorative glove and wear them around and control the world. This is very similar, except there's three of them, and you just kind of put them together like Legos.
Yeah, you put them together, and then it's like they shout, "For the unity!" And the world changes.
Yeah. Do the boxes contain power, you ask? No. They are power.
They are power. Yeah, when I heard that the first time, I said, what the fuck?
Do they contain power? No, they are power.
Just say yes. That's what I said.
So, yeah.
Yeah, just say yeah. We don't need this.
And I guess from there, Bruce Wayne is...
On a mission to
unite the league, mm-hmm. man. He goes to Aquaman's turf. He's like, there's a guy here that like brings fish. and you know, who is he? And Jason Momoa was like already there.
Sound like Keanu Reeves and Bill and Ted.
I thought that was strange. He was just like already there. He didn't like walk in, bust in, make a grand entrance. He was like already there. He's like, what do you want from me, dude?
Yeah. And well, because this is what I assume. All the people there, they already fucking know. You know, like they're like, he helps us. Yeah, we're not gonna say shit.
Yeah,
we'll give him all kind of liquor and then let him go back to wherever the fuck he came from.
I feel like Jason Momoa, man, his acting style in this movie, he was very kind of like very everyman in many ways. Like mm-hmm. he was just like, yo man, like, oh, you dress up like a bat, that's crazy.
Yeah,
well, you know,
I dig it. Yeah. That shit was funny.
I dig it. Yeah.
Yeah,
my man.
Yeah.
He's hitting you with all
he was
the,
a very fun character.
He was pretty fun. Yeah,
yeah, I liked
but that. I felt like he kind of had like his acting style, he seemed like he wasn't as serious as the other ones were, and not like in a comedic relief. He just seemed very relaxed.
Yeah, like he didn't give a shit.
You know what I'm saying? He had a very relaxed style, which I thought was like strange. Now, this is going to do wonders for Aquaman, okay?
Mm-hmm. If they still got James Wan, I think it'll be a great movie.
You still have James Wan?
Directing it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't know who James Wan is.
You don't know who he is?
I don't think so.
Same director from... he did Insidious, both The Conjurings.
Gotcha.
Insidious 2. He didn't do his 3. He did the first Saw, I think.
Gotcha. So
he's a really good director.
Oh, okay. Okay, never mind. It makes sense now.
Yeah.
But so many names, you're throwing them at me here.
I'm sorry.
In an all-star cast.
Yeah, in an all-star cast, yes.
I did find it strange that Jason Momoa, Aquaman, sorry. This is going to do wonders for Aquaman. This is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Because they're making Aquaman cool. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be cool. I mean, Aquaman's going to get his own movie next year. People are going to go see it. Kids are going to love Aquaman. It's going to give a whole new. It's going to give a whole new side to Aquaman.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. The fact that he's absolutely jacked. The fact that he's now covered in tattoos. The fact that he's like, I don't know. He's just Khal Drogo. But yeah,
it's a new age Aquaman. I think everyone's going to dig it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was good. That was a good casting choice.
They better fix that goddamn Atlantis CGI though.
Yeah, that was. It was like, hey, you're.
Underwater.
Under this light with a bunch of dust floating around.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple wavy water effects.
Yeah. What the... Who is Amber Heard's character?
I don't know, man. She was just randomly...
She was just controlling shit. What does she do?
She fought with Atlantia.
Okay. That's
Atlanta?
It.
Atlanta? She fought with Aquaman's mom?
Yeah, Atlanta. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Aquaman's mom. And so she wasn't here either. He's like an all butthurt about his mom not being there.
Yeah, here's a complaint that I had about Aquaman. I thought that it was rather strange that he wore pants in the water a lot. Like, he didn't wear any sort of, like, I don't know, like a body glove or something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like a surfer outfit. Anything that's, like, for water. He was just like, I'm going to wear these pants and a tank top.
Yeah, he wore khakis. Good.
He just wore his khakis into the
ocean. Just jumps right in.
And then just jumps right out. Like, hey, man, here's a guy that was about to... fucking crash his ship.
One corny thing they did do with Aquaman that really didn't like piss me off, but I was like, is that necessary? That damn Aquaman caution sign. You see that bullshit?
Yes, I did see that.
I didn't like it. That was stupid.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, and so he's got Aquaman. We have an awesome scene in the movie. One of the standout scenes for me was the actual fight with the Amazons.
Yeah.
The Amazonians.
Amazons.
The Amazons? With Wonder Woman's tribe.
Amazonians, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I thought that was done very well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Zack Snyder, man, his CG can be so good at times. In this movie, I thought there were times when you definitely can tell you're watching a computer-generated image on the screen.
Yeah.
Mostly Superman's mouth.
Yes.
If I can just get into my first qualm from the first scene, why is Superman's mouth CG'd?
And there's another thing too. Whenever they revive him or whatever, and he grabs Batman and starts talking to him, is it me or did he have an accent?
It sounded like he did, because he was like, he said something to Lois Lane, and he was like, "I heard that,"
yeah,
or something. I don't know what he said. Something of that.
Yeah, that was weird.
It's like, for sure.
Yeah, it was a weird little 20 seconds of him talking. I was like, that's not American.
Yeah, kind of strange. Then we meet Barry Allen. We meet The Flash.
Yep.
The Flash's dad, played by Billy Crudup.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the slammer.
Yep.
Turns out Flash has been going to visit him. He thinks his dad got a bum rap, apparently.
If you haven't watched The Flash on TV, or if you don't know a damn thing about The Flash, the story itself is, his father is framed for the murder of his mother, and really it's his arch nemesis that killed. It's an in-depth fucking story. But he's in the slammer.
Yeah, sorry. I was just trying to make it fun to listen to. But yeah, so his pop is in the slammer, okay? And it turns out the Flash works four jobs to pay his way through college to be a criminal justice major of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be the Flash's big backstory. And then we've got Cyborg.
Yeah.
Now, turns out Cyborg was a up-and-coming prospect for GCU's football team, but a horrible accident.
And he was a smart student.
Super
athlete.
Genius. Yeah. Super high IQ.
Yep. Then an accident happened, and his father saved him via one of the mother box's energies.
Yeah. I don't know how they
turned him into a humanoid machine.
Also, I love the fact, now consider this typecasting, if you will, but the fact that, Cyborg's dad is also the same guy
from
Terminator 2.
He's always a damn scientist, a doctor.
You're always some guy that's working with computers.
Yeah, he's always smart in every fucking movie he's in.
So he's like Miles Dyson in Terminator 2. Almost the same characters. Like, hey, I'm Miles Dyson, the guy that was so smart that I invented artificial technology and Cyberdyne and Skynet and all this sort of thing.
You think that was a ploy? You think they did that shit on purpose?
Well, man, I think that they if they didn't, they should have, because very similar character, very similar.
If they didn't, I wonder at what time during filming they were like, wait a minute.
It was maybe a tongue-in-cheek homage there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He killed it, though.
Yeah, he did.
And Cyborg, honestly, is the character that I was like, from the previous, I was like, man, this guy looks whack.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't think that they would be all that cool.
I think they've really put all their eggs in one basket for the CGI on Cyborg is their biggest problem, because his CGI looked great to me in the entire movie.
Yeah, I thought that they did Cyborg so well.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very standout character to me.
Yeah.
I feel like the least standing out characters of the actual league, not a lot of Superman redeeming qualities this time.
Yeah.
Not a lot of Batman.
Like, not really.
You know what I'm saying? It mostly focused Wonder Woman, Flash, Cyborg.
Yeah.
And an Aquaman.
Yeah. Well, I think the main reason for that was that Steppenwolf was like,
And before we go any further, let's talk about the villain, Steppenwolf.
Mm-hmm.
Cue Magic Carpet Ride.
Yeah.
Right now. Man, what a bold choice to name your villain Steppenwolf. Now, I know, granted, Steppenwolf is more than just a rockin' band from the late 60s.
But they are a rockin' band.
But they are a rockin' band. Born to be wild, brother. Heavy metal thunder. That's Steppenwolf. So, but it's also a villain in this movie. Mm-hmm. What did you? What are your thoughts on Steppenwolf?
But the reason that they, the reason that it was more focused, in my opinion, on like, you know, Aquaman and Wonder Woman was because Steppenwolf was an enemy of their territories long before Batman even existed.
Right.
You know, so that's why it was maybe the story focused on them more. But you got to think though, Batman is supposed to be the leader of the right. group. Why not make him a, you know, a main point?
Yeah. Steppenwolf comes down from the outer space.
Yeah, who the fuck knows?
I would
where?
Imagine from parts unknown.
Yeah, for
just
real.
Like the Ultimate Warrior from parts unknown. He's put down onto Earth. He's hanging out in a nuclear reactor on some like poor man's Chernobyl. You know, that's got to be a Chernobyl reference there, because it was like, oh, it's some.
It did look like that.
Someplace in Russia that had a nuclear reactor from 30 years ago.
It looked like a lighter colored version of The Hills Have Eyes.
Right. So, but he has the parademons, and his goal is to unite the mother boxes, mm-hmm. not the Infinity Stones, the mother boxes. Put them together. Get the power.
And then it turns Earth into his world or some shit.
Exactly. The Atlanteans hid one. Men hid one.
And the Amazons hid one.
So, yeah. So he's on a quest. He stole the Atlanteans pretty simply, actually.
Yeah, he just went down there. He was like, that is my shit.
Now, the Amazons, they put up a great fight. Like I said, that's one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
Yeah, that was a war.
The Atlanteans, he just went straight out there like, man, fuck this. Just going to go dive down here, steal it.
Yeah, I'm going to take this shit back. Get out of my way. It's mine.
Yeah. Now, here's a confusing thing. So they're like under the harbor. They're like in the subway in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Batman's Nightcrawler vehicle.
Whatever the fuck it was, yeah.
That was something special, that's for sure.
That was weird.
But where I got confused, now I did get confused in this movie, guys. I'm not necessarily the quickest to pick stuff up, and I haven't read every comic book either. I enjoy things very much on the surface a lot of times. But somehow, you know, it shows in the backstory like these like great Lord of the Rings looking, you know, Viking looking guys burying this mother box, mm-hmm. you know, this race of men buried this mother box, and then randomly they're like in what looks like a subway or train station. They have a big battle right underneath Gotham Harbor, and then somehow the box is under there.
Yeah,
because that's where he got the third box.
Mm-hmm.
That was strange for me.
Did he? No.
The box of men. Where did he get the box of men box?
Cyborg knew where it was, flew away, came back and brought it with him. Remember?
Ah, yes, that's true.
They didn't even fucking show you where that shit was. They just picked it up.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, man, this box, don't worry, Dad found it.
Yeah.
And that's the box, okay, that they made Cyborg. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, he just went up and he was like, no, you don't have this one. This is mine.
Yeah, there you go. This is what made me what I am.
I'm here.
So here's the deal. Steppenwolf. Obviously, overpowering
mm-hmm.
the JLA, the Justice League. So they have to do something that they didn't want to do. And that was dig up
Superman. Clark Kent.
Dig up old Clark Kent.
Dig up old Clarky.
So we got a great scene of the Flash and Cyborg digging up Clark Kent. They get stuck on shovel detail.
Yep.
And, hilarity ensues whenever he tries to get a fist bump. The Flash tries to get Cyborg to fist bump him.
It's pretty funny.
It's not working.
Like it
doesn't
work
out.
Like I was telling you, I think they did a good job with the Flash as he was, but I still would have preferred, after watching the Flash, you know, TV show, you know, since been on, I would prefer Grant Gustin. But I understand why they didn't, and it was okay. Like Ezra Miller was a good Flash.
I thought he was a good Flash also. And what I liked about it is, like, honestly, everybody kind of had a few like one-liners that are not done out of complete silliness. They're more like, it's funny, but it's also something like when Batman was like, oh, I'm definitely bleeding somewhere.
Yeah,
like that's probably something Batman would really say.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny. I do feel like the Flash is mostly the comedic relief.
Yeah, for sure.
So they focused it on him.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't go into Anchorman territory.
Yeah, thank God.
You know, so that's good.
I was gonna say that too. You know, reviewing the movie, I think they did a much better job with one-liners than Thor did. Like they didn't play some every goddamn scene.
Yeah, I agree. It was tastefully done in my opinion. But from there, basically, they dig up old Clark Kent,
mm-hmm.
and They throw him in the chocolate river from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
No, yeah, they throw him in the same place where they created Doomsday.
Right. Somehow the liquid's still there where Luther is...
Luther is supposedly rotting away in jail.
Yeah.
And then they're just leaving that shit there for what reason?
I don't know. But guys, if you ever want to resurrect somebody, throw them in the chocolate river and put an electric Rubik's Cube in the water with them. That will seem to do the trick.
And you have to make sure that it only gets electrocuted as soon as it touches the water.
That's key.
And then that will bring said person back to life.
Yeah, there's a lot of rules here. They're like gremlins, you know, you can't feed them after dark. Don't get them wet.
Yeah.
There's a specific set of rules here if you want to make it happen. So they make it happen, okay? They resurrect the guy. And
he goes apeshit.
Superman goes a little berserk for all of about
5 minutes.
Yeah, give or take.
Yeah.
And then he sees Lois Lane.
Well, Batman brought Lois Lane.
Yeah, Batman brings him. He has Alfred bring him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Alfred, my slave, please bring Lois Lane here. And then, you know, they fly off to Smallville.
Fuck that whole 30 minutes.
They fly off to Smallville and they hug in a cornfield. And
so mad.
Diane Lane shows up.
I'm so goddamn mad.
We got to watch, again, perplexing, but we get to watch Superman speak with a CGI mouth.
Yeah, that was a stupid... That is the biggest problem Zack Snyder has with his movies. There's tons of action, tons of great visuals, but in every single movie he's had, there's a downward slope of storytelling for some amount of time. And every movie, that whole downward slope was fucking horrible.
Yeah. That's a slow point for me.
I hated it.
And then, so people get together. The team unites.
Mm-hmm.
And Steppenwolf and the team have a great battle.
Yeah, it was great. It was a really good battle scene.
I feel like it was a little short at times. But they go to that ripoff Chernobyl. They have a scene of epic battle, and all the parademons are there. And then there's also a family that lives there that's like protecting themselves. I had a big problem with the fact that that family that like leaves the house, you know, they like jump in that truck.
Yeah.
They just put the two kids in the back, and then the parents were in the front of the truck. I was like, are you serious?
That's not how this works.
Like, you just gonna throw your kids in the back, like, be the most susceptible to danger?
That's so stupid.
That was kind of a funny part for me.
Well, for the longest time, I thought those were the only people living there, because they didn't show anyone else. I was like,
as far as I know, they might be the only people.
No, whenever they ran to the truck, you saw finally a crowd of people running.
Oh, gotcha.
But I was like,
they were the last people there.
Yeah, I guess.
So, man. And then justice is served. Justice is served. Steppenwolf is defeated.
Steppenwolf gets stepped on.
Yeah, the parademons take him back. Because Batman has a sweet siren in his Batmobile that draws them out, and then they scare Steppenwolf, and the parademons smell fear. They're attracted to fear, so they attack those that are afraid, and they take Steppenwolf up to outer space.
Where the hell he came from.
And then the Justice League pose, overlooking the carnage, overlooking the damage.
Yeah.
For, you know.
Cliche little last 2 minute ending.
And then that was it. Justice League. Now, we did stay after the credits.
Yeah. That was funny with Superman and the Flash.
Yeah. So, Superman and Flash have a foot race. That was funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
Their dynamic was great.
Superman said, if I win, you're out.
Yeah. And if I win, I get to tell everybody.
Yeah.
So, and then the post-credit scene. We find out, spoiler, big spoiler. If you haven't watched it yet, the biggest spoiler, Lex Luthor
said, fuck jail, I'm out.
Yep. He said, fuck it, man, I'm out.
Yeah, you got out.
And he hires Deathstroke.
Joe Manganiello, or Manganiello, however you say his last name, looks dope.
Yes.
As Deathstroke.
Yes.
And that costume was
lit.
Mr. Wilson.
I don't know if you know this. You know, Deathstroke is the influence for Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you knew that.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. They look exactly alike.
Yeah.
And both their last names are Wilson. That's fun.
I almost wanted to be, when I was trying to make fun of what we just talked about, I wanted to be like, Wade Wilson. I was like, that's not the right Wilson.
Wade Wilson. So, yeah, that was Justice League.
It was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
You know, we had a lot of criticisms. I feel like
all the naysayers
leading you through the movie. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. Here's some things, though. If I had to, I don't know, if I had to give some of the more perplexing questions. One, why did they CG his mouth? I'm going to have to Google that. But yeah. Boy, that was, why did they CG Superman's mouth? If you know, let me know in the comments.
Yeah, I don't know. That was crazy.
Part two. This is kind of a big one for me. Well, actually, you know what? Part two. Why did they leave the kids in the back of the truck? Part yeah. three. This is the big one for me. So, Barry Allen's pops in prison.
Yep.
Unjustly for crime he didn't commit.
Mm-hmm.
And Barry goes and visits his dad on the reg. And he's like, hey, Dad, you know, I've been visiting you for years and check out all the stuff that I'm doing. And the Flash has powers beyond man.
Mm-hmm.
Superhuman speed.
Yeah.
Why has he not
just breaking his dad out?
Broken his dad out of prison.
Well, there's two different.
Give me the reasons, man. Maybe you know the backstory. No, but why didn't you just break Pop out of prison?
No, I know the exact. I'm setting up for this motherfucker. I know the exact backstory.
Bring Pop to your secret lair filled with K-pop and Rick and Morty.
And it really was, though.
Yeah, it really was. The Flash's lair had K-pop and
why
and Rick
are you
and
sitting
Morty.
In my second favorite chair?
That was great.
The reason that he does, okay, so in the first season of The Flash on CW, so Barry's mom died. Well, this is what I was trying to tell you. Barry's mom gets killed by the Reverse Flash, Eobard Thorne. They blame Barry's dad, and Barry's dad and him, all like, as soon as Barry's dad finds out or he tells him that he is The Flash or whatever, which I don't think had happened yet in Justice League storyline, but when they tell him that, or when he tells him that, he's like, you know, I don't want you to break me out of here. I don't want you to break the law to make yourself happy.
Gotcha.
And all that stuff like that. But I think that's probably why in the movie, I don't think they got to that point yet in the movie.
Maybe they should just throw that at the beginning. Like, hey, don't break me out.
Yeah.
Whatever you do,
yeah.
son.
Well, I think any realistic person's like, yeah, it's my dad.
Yeah, it's probably the first thing I'm going to do. Because, like, especially if I'm, like, going through college to go to get a criminal justice degree to, like, spring you from the slammer.
Yeah.
I could probably just do it in 2 seconds instead of like,
yeah, you know, why am I wasting my fucking time? Yeah.
Go to college.
Yeah.
Whatever. Maybe that's just me.
But I see what you're saying, because that was my biggest thing too whenever I first saw it. Like, whenever, before I watched The Flash on CW, I was like, he can do whatever he wants. Like, just get your dad out of prison.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
It's not that difficult. I will say that there was some great, funny parts in this movie. First off, I want to say that the little Easter egg where it shows the, you know, the Metropolis News, Daily Planet, whatever the newspaper said it was, and it was like mysterious beings seem to be leaving Earth returning and back to their planet, and it's Superman,
and then it was
David Bowie and Prince.
And Prince, yeah.
That was genius.
That was great.
Yeah.
That was a good little Easter egg.
One of my favorite lines comes from The Flash, and he's talking about his appetite, and he's like, yeah, I just got to eat all the time. I'm like a black hole of snacking. I'm a snack hole.
Yeah, I'm a snack hole.
That was great.
Yeah. You lost it.
I loved it. I was like the only one that laughed, too. Yeah.
And well, you laughed longer.
Yeah.
You loved that one. Yeah.
I loved the snack hole.
Your laughing made me laugh.
What are some of your pros and cons? Let's just segue into the pros and cons section here.
Well, shit. I thought the story was good for what it was. There's like a few things. Like, they didn't have enough time, obviously. They didn't go into the backstory of Cyborg enough to, like, show what he did in high school and who he was exactly. They just kind of sprung him on you. Same thing with Barry and same thing with Aquaman. They just kind of sprung him on you, and they didn't, there wasn't any development, really.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why they're all getting their standalone movies. I get that, but they did the order of the movie weird.
Right.
Like, they should, like, I hate to go back to root to Marvel's, like, you know, process or whatever, but.
Well, they've done it. You know what I'm saying? And it's been successful.
Well, that's, they showed you characters in their own movies and then brought them together. That's the, they saw a formula that they wanted to accomplish and proved that it worked. So why, as a competitor, would you not just take the same formula to make it better?
I just feel like DC's been playing catch up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. They have been playing catch up. That's my for sure. That and the CGI in Atlantis are really my only problems
mm-hmm.
with the movie. I thought it was great. I thought the one-liners that they did have were spectacular in the placement. I thought, I still think Ben Affleck's a good Batman. I don't think he's Christian Bale. I don't think he's Val, or no, I almost said Val Kilmer. Oh my God. I don't think he's Keaton. Michael Keaton, yeah. But I think he's a good Batman. I think Gal Gadot, as you said earlier, stands out in any scene she's in. Great.
Absolutely. Lights up the screen.
Yeah.
Radiates charisma. She's Wonder Woman is like a character that I didn't really know much about, and now I'm super just like behind into, it 100%. Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to have J.K. Simmons be in the standalone Batman movie. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't know much about.
You only get like 2 minutes of him as, you know, Jim Gordon, but he was good for what you know. For
he's
what
so
was.
Great anyway.
Yeah, J.K. he's Simmons a great actor fantastic. Regardless. Yeah.
It's so crazy. You got like J.K. Simmons, who was like in Spider-Man all those years, mm-hmm. and then you've got like Ben Affleck that was Daredevil, mm-hmm. and you just got these people that are like crossing over all the time from Marvel into DC.
Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool, fucking Green Lantern.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Chris Evans played two Marvel characters.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, besides that, I loved like their what is the word?
The dynamic?
Yeah, the dynamic and the connection they had on screen all together.
Yeah.
Especially when they were in the Batcave. Mm-hmm. When Aquaman stole that piece of whatever it was.
Oddly enough, just picked it up and just put it in the pocket. That's mine. That's it.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good scene. I thought Cyborg, yeah, like what you said earlier, stole the show. I think when Cyborg gets his own movie, if it's Ray Fisher, I think it'll be a great movie.
I agree. Biggest pros for me in the movie, Cyborg. Fantastic. I thought that they did him really well.
Yeah.
Of course, Wonder Woman, fantastic. The Flash was great for me.
Mm-hmm.
The battle scene with the Amazons, I thought was great.
Reminded me a lot of the battle scene from Thor with Valkyrie.
Right.
Just not as like ambient, you know, it was like in your face.
Right. Though that scene in Thor, like, I don't know. I'm not, like I said, Thor was kind of polarizing for me. I did find that scene in Thor was really, really well done, CG-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's great. But, yeah, and then cons for me, like, I feel like Superman Superman's not my favorite anyway.
Yeah.
But I felt like some of the Superman stuff, not so great. Ben Affleck didn't have as much of a big impact like I hoped he would. But, you know, Ben Affleck's a man with Superman around him, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, what's your superpower? I'm rich.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm glad that they addressed that finally.
Yeah.
In the movie.
They've been saying it for years. Yeah. You know, and finally somebody was like, yeah.
I'm rich.
Yeah. I'm rich.
But yeah, cons for me, Steppenwolf, pretty forgettable
villain.
Yeah. But I think this goes back to
They did mention Darkseid in there.
They did mention Darkseid, yeah, that was good. So I'm sure that's leading up to something big in the future.
Justice League 2 is supposed to happen in 2021.
Well, we got time to build it up, I guess.
Yeah.
Jesus. But Steppenwolf, pretty unmemorable, pretty forgettable character is what I'm saying. I think that has a lot to do with the fact that there is not a face for the villain. Okay? And that drives me crazy. To see people, like, the same problem that I have with, like, I don't like Hulk in, like, movies, just, like, this big CG. He's like a big green 3-year-old that jumps the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Doomsday in Batman vs. Superman, not into. This character being pretty much like a full CG'd face, and there is no human face in there.
Yeah.
That really did not do anything good for him as being a memorable villain, I don't think.
Yeah, most of the time when you have a villain that's CGI 95% of its, you know, being it, it's not going
to
be memorable.
Well, again, just to compare it to Thor, you know, obviously they came out around the same time, but, you know, Cate Blanchett as a villain, she had mostly a CG'd, you know, she had a big CG'd headpiece and different parts of her outfit, but you can still see her face. You can still see her emotion through her face, and that's the important thing.
Well, and she had more of a story than Steppenwolf had, too.
That's true. Steppenwolf's just like, hey, man, I'm ready to return.
Yeah, years
and
ago.
Grab these boxes.
Yeah, years
bro.
Ago, this shit happened. He messed up a lot of our shit, and we made him go away. And now he's back.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only story you get.
I'm a big DC fan, though. So I got to say, you know, maybe I'm biased. Maybe I'm biased against Marvel.
Well, that's what I'm indifferent. I love them both equally. I don't have a judgment on which one I like more.
Right.
So I think if you put that aside, I think it was a solid movie.
Yeah. I think that it's a solid movie too, but I also have to say I love Batman.
Yeah.
One of my favorite characters of all time.
Yeah.
Loved Wonder Woman in these movies and stuff like that. So like now I'm into Wonder Woman and The Flash and Cyborg and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm invested from the get-go. I want to see how this is. Jason Momoa is a fantastic actor. And so I wanted to see what he could do for Aquaman. So I'm invested already off the bat. So I think I'm already, you know, giving it credit before I've even seen the movie.
Yeah.
But the movie to me was very, very enjoyable. And it goes back to the, like, one of the first things I said in this podcast about this movie is it is the Fast and the Furious formula.
Yeah.
You're taking these characters that radiate charisma and stuff like that on the screen
and seem like they get along.
Yeah.
On the screen.
And then you put them together and make them seem like they get along. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's the magic behind Fast and the Furious. The fact that you got Vin Diesel and you have Gal Gadot and you have The Rock and you have Jason Statham and you have Tyrese and you have Ludacris and you have Paul Walker and you have, you know, everybody, you know, everybody else.
Yeah.
And Han, my favorite. You know what I'm saying? Like you put them all together and give them an adventure together, and it's a thrill ride.
Yeah,
that's what Justice League was for me.
Fill with one-liners, blow-ups, action. Yeah,
and just an all-star cast. Put them together. Let them have some, you know, awesome screen time together.
Some fun, if they would.
Yeah, and put them together, dude, and unite the league. And I think that they did that, man.
Yeah, I think it was a good movie. Yeah, especially I didn't leave the theater upset.
I was not. No. I wasn't at all.
I enjoyed my time. I was enthused to find out more about like the next movie, like what are they like, what's next, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, in the DCEU extended universe, yes.
I feel like a couple things. Now, going into seeing Thor, everybody told me about how great it was. And I was like, it was like pretty okay. And then going into Justice League, everyone told me how shitty it was. So when I watched it, I was like, it's actually okay.
Yeah.
So
expectations, yeah, for sure have ruined, not ruined, but have messed up movies for me. Less than like the last like half year. Like four movies I've seen have always either been better or worse than what I thought because of the way that I went into it.
Exactly. So I went into it with very low expectation. I thought it would be horrible. Watched it, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's see. What would you rank this?
I would for sure give it...
Out of 10.
Out of 10, I'm probably 7.5 to 8.
7.5 to 8.
Yeah.
I'm giving it a 7.5. That's exactly what I gave Thor last week on the podcast.
Yeah, it's definitely not worse than Thor.
No, I don't think it is either. And I don't think... Like, to me, I think Thor is not as good as people say it is, and I think Justice League
it's
is better
than people say it
than
is.
What they say it is.
Yeah.
But I also think that they're both 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah, good movies.
Go see it. A lot of fun. If you like superheroes, if you like comics, it's going to be up your alley.
Yeah.
Now, if you're one of these people that say, well, you know, I've read every comic, and this isn't exactly the way that it's portrayed in the comic that I read, so I don't like it. Then maybe don't go see it.
Then
you know what? Go home and read a comic book.
Yeah, then maybe just don't talk to anyone ever again in your life. I don't like you.
Yeah. From a cinematic experience, though, Justice League was...
Yeah, it was good.
It was a thrill ride
for me. I liked it. I enjoyed it a lot.
So
I can't wait to get on here to have a movie to review that we fucking hated.
Well, Star Wars does come out here in a few days.
Oh, here you go. we're gonna have a split view on that, aren't we?
You know, I would love to watch a movie that I literally absolutely hated. Since we just, you know, we're pretty much done with the Justice League for the most part. We've given our 7.5s out of 10s.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question, just a little OT. So everybody gets
in overtime.
Guys, overtime is the overtime segment of the podcast. What is the worst movie you've ever seen in the theater?
I feel like I told you this last time, 2012.
I don't think you said it on air. 2012 is the worst movie you've seen in the theater.
I don't know. Jurassic Park 3 was pretty bad.
Fair enough.
In theater. It's hard.
See, it's hard because in theater, you actually are paying money to go see this movie, so you'll kind of like it a little bit. Because I've seen some pretty shit movies, but I do like them. Mr. Nanny with Hulk Hogan. Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
You saw it in the theater?
Saw it in the theater. Oh, yeah. Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Saw it in the theater. It
was fucking horrible. I saw it on DVD and still couldn't stand it.
Yeah. But I loved it then. You know, I paid my... dude, movie tickets were $3.50.
No, what a great...
Paid my $3.50 and saw it twice, actually, with my friends. I was like in fourth grade.
You saw that shit movie twice.
Twice, man.
Oh, my God.
But I was like in third, fourth grade. I'm going to the movies with my friends. Back in those days, your parents, your grandparents just drop you right off at the theater, man.
I remember the first time I went to a movie. Unsupervised. I remember the first time I went to a movie by myself. Like, my dad dropped me off because he did not want to see what I wanted to see. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was, like, The Last Stand, X-Men, X3.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I just remember I had to have been, like, 15, 16.
That's the first time you ever saw a movie by yourself?
By myself.
Yeah.
Like, in a theater.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, I watched TV and shit by myself. But by myself in the theater, I got a popcorn and a medium soda. And I said, like, I was a 15-year-old by myself. I'm like, welcome. River Falls...
River Falls Cinemas
still.
See, we come from a different time, man. I don't know. So whenever I was a kid, I remember distinctly my dad and his girlfriend took my sister and I and my cousin Ryan and my cousin Ryan's sister. So the four kids took us to the movies together.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to go see a movie. We wanted to go see Gremlins too. Okay. So we go see Gremlins 2, except he just puts us in the movie theater alone, like buys us a drink and a popcorn, puts us in the movie theater alone. Him and his girlfriend go see another 48 hours or something like that, go see some other movie, and like leave four kids terrified in the movies to go see Gremlins.
You know what? Actually, I take back what I said. One of the worst movie I've definitely seen is one of those fucking Madea movies. I don't know why I was... I think it was literally at the Dollar Theater we had that I saw it.
I would say genuinely the worst movie, like the movie that I was like, man, this was not great, was I went and saw The Stepford Wives back in the day.
Oh, God.
So I used to have this thing, guys, don't call the police. I know it's been over a decade, but I used to do this thing when I was like a senior in high school where we would just sneak into the movies. We would get a whole group of people and we would just sneak into the movies.
That was your big thing?
That was the big thing. We'd go to the movies and we would go see movies like real late. And it was so funny. I'm like, we just snuck into the movies. There's four people watching The Stepford Wives. Obviously, we're the only four people in here. Obviously, we didn't pay for a ticket. You know, people come in, see there's people in here. Why are there people in here? Yeah, because we snuck in to go see it.
Why are there four teenage dudes watching Stepford Wives?
Right. That was not... So that may have been like literally like... And I didn't even pay for it. And I was like, man, that movie was lame.
Oh, well, you definitely had a good opinion if you didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
You walked in there like, this is bullshit. Like, oh my God.
Didn't like it.
Mm-mm.
But I've seen some real stinkers in the theater. And I've just kind of enjoyed them for what they are. And maybe that's Justice League for you. I just enjoy movies for what they are.
No, I mean, I think this was genuinely a good movie. Like, I don't think you have to know much of anything about comic books to go in and enjoy it. You just have to want to go in to the
ready kill, for to, ready yeah. for action, yeah. adventure, and excitement.
Yeah, to kill 2 hours and then have a good time. You know,
yeah.
And then I think you'll get it.
I agree.
I think any regular person will get it.
Let me ask you this. Would you recommend anyone to go see it, or would you have them movie pass?
I would have them definitely go see it. Use their movie pass to go see it.
Yeah. But don't sleep on Justice League.
Don't sleep.
I agree. I would say definitely go see Justice League.
Don't sleep.
No.
Just watch your thing.
Yeah. Don't speak.
Yeah, I know.
Still, I see what you're doing there. You change the lyrics, but not the feeling.
Yeah, it's still there. It's still a genuine feeling.
Exactly. I would definitely say go see it. Go check it out. 100% for sure. If you like superhero movies, it's going to be right up your alley.
Right up your alley.
It's going to be right up your snack hole, if you will. Bringing it back.
And the Flash, apparently the Flash movie is supposed to be based on Flashpoint, which I don't know if you know what that is or not.
I am not familiar with Flashpoint. God, man, you're making me look dumb on my own podcast.
No, I mean, I just know because I watch The Flash every Tuesday, or gotcha. I guess every Wednesday because I have the CW app. But I'm up to date and like the Flash.
Are you up to date on Riverdale?
No, but I want to start it. Apparently it's good.
Shh, stop talking. Just stop talking.
Apparently it's good. I want to start.
Everybody says that it's like the most, everyone's like, man, this is like a great TV. I know I knew for sure I was going to hate it. And then I started watching it. And now I love it. I feel the same way, though. I get sucked into, like, Veronica Mars, Pretty Little Liars. Like, over the years, I've watched these shows.
Okay, chill out.
And been like, These shows are garbage, and then you randomly get hooked on them.
No, chill out.
Veronica Mars was great.
Chill out.
Kristen Bell, love her.
Oh yeah, but you love Kristen Bell. We did. Yeah.
I already talked about it.
But no, Flashpoint is okay. So he runs back in time and saves his mom. Barry does, and then he changes fucking everything. Like he's not best friends with Iris anymore. Joe, his police detective, like foster dad, doesn't know who he is or doesn't like him. It fucks everything up, and that's what apparently the movie's supposed to be based on, which would be tight. Which explains why he didn't bust him out of jail.
Yeah, well, I figured that explains why. Billy Crudup, you can't just... He's not going to be some dork that's just behind bars. He's going to be a main character in a movie at some point. You know what I'm saying? So, definitely.
If they do what the Flashpoint storyline does, eventually... No, because his dad's already dead by then, I think.
Spoiler alert. Whoa, hey-o.
There's so many different storylines. It doesn't matter. It just depends on which one you read.
Here's the deal. It's comic books, so they just reboot them every so often. And
they just change shit up whenever they want.
Yeah, that's the beauty about comic books, man. These are heroes that literally are there for you when you need them, no matter where you are in the world, no matter when you are in the world, and they will adapt to our needs when we need them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beauty. That's like the beautiful thing about comic books. It's a beautiful thing about superheroes. They are always there for us, and they adapt to us when we need them.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Take it for what it is.
Take it for what it is. If you could see one comic book hero made into a movie that hasn't got a movie yet, who would it be?
My favorite comic book hero growing up was Nightcrawler.
Yes.
I love the idea of being able to just fucking vanish to do whatever you wanted. That was cool.
It would be great to see a legit... Now, I thought Alan Cumming did a good job as Nightcrawler in, like, X2.
Mm-hmm.
The new Nightcrawler where he's, like, all, I don't know, goth or something.
Yeah, whatever the fuck that was.
Not super into that.
Also Gambit.
Yeah. See, I would love to see, like, Excalibur or something where, like, Nightcrawler is, like, the head of his own, like, little crew of peeps.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
That would be tight.
My number one absolute favorite comic book hero is Animal Man, and I would love to see an Animal Man movie. Buddy Baker.
The fuck is Animal Man?
I will learn you. I'll let you borrow some comics. It will blow your mind.
I don't have a clue what you're talking. Only thing I can think of is Animorphs.
Animal Man. Buddy Baker. Bernhard Baker.
You remember Animorphs?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I had a huge collection of Animorphs. Got to get them at the book fair. The Scholastic Book Fair, guys. But, yeah. So, in closing, I would definitely say go check out Justice League. A lot of fun.
For sure. Yeah.
Like I said, this is the Fast and the Furious formula.
Superhero version.
Yeah, the superhero version of the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
Get some big name stars, some people that have some excellent charisma, throw them on some screen together, have them go on an adventure, and just enjoy it, man. Enjoy it for just, you know, Jason Momoa with the shirt off.
Zack Snyder definitely made up for what Batman vs. Superman was with this movie.
I agree.
To me.
I agree. And ultimate thing I would say is it's better than Batman vs. Superman.
Oh, yeah.
And it's also better than Suicide Squad.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
yeah.
Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Any closing thoughts?
Just can't wait, man. Last Jedi comes out.
I know.
Soon.
We got to go see it.
Yeah.
Trevor Neely, I know you fear me. I know you're afraid of this podcast. But I'm going to need you to go see Star Wars with me and review it right here. This is me calling you out, sucker.
The thing is, he'll probably go see it with us. Like, it'll be like his fifth time.
Man, yeah, exactly.
You know?
By the time we get around to it, we'll be the last two people in the theater.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So, yeah, guys. So, yeah, definitely go check out Justice League. If you haven't, go get a Movie Pass. We're not sponsored by Movie Pass. We just want you to enjoy Movie Pass along with us because for $9.99, $9.95, whatever it is.
A month.
Per month. For less than $10 a month, it's a great investment.
We went and saw our movie today, and we paid less per month than it cost per ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy.
So go and join in on the conversation. And if you like what you hear, like, share, and subscribe. Share it on Facebook. Share it on all over your social media here.
Share it on our Twitter. Share it on our Insta.
Yeah, just whatever, you know, get the word out here. Sean versus Wild is doing something new, okay? I always interview people, and that's not going to stop as far as my interview shows go, but I want to give extra content to you guys every week. if we can, but at least on the reg, okay? Regularly.
Regularly.
So, you know, hopefully this is, you know, hopefully this is fulfilling that need for extra content. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, let's just keep the numbers going. Let's keep building it up for 2018. So like, share, and subscribe, and also got a bunch of brand new merch. So hit me up if you want sweatshirts and hooded sweatshirts and t-shirts and all kinds of stuff.
And the room we're in right now, I see them.
Yeah, literally, the room that we're in mostly has boxes in it right now from t-shirts.
True.
And the laptop. I told you we were going to get better this week as far as, you know, having a laptop and, you know, actually having
people's... Fact checking.
Yeah, actually having facts and people's names up. Yeah, the laptop that we're looking at is sitting on a bunch of shirt boxes. So there you go, guys.
It's been real.
It's been real. It's been fun. And it's been real fun.
It's been real fun.
So, yeah, check it out. Unite the team. You can't save the world alone. I've said it once and I'll say it again. And until then, take care of yourselves.
Stay classy, San Diego.
Take care of yourselves and each other. Got to end it like Jerry Springer. But yeah, guys, this has been another MoviePass edition of the Sean vs. Wild podcast.